May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, it says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." In verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
So we can all hate each other.
Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
With a sword.
Actually, we were talking about this in the office. This definitely qualifies as one of the hard sayings of Jesus. And that's actually a theological term, believe it or not. That biblical exegesis refers to these and other passages like it as the hard sayings of Jesus. You have to have a doctorate degree to come up with that description. Okay? But yes, these are the hard sayings of Jesus. It has been a troubling couple of weeks. Well, you know, just a month ago, we had that quiet day and everything. It was really cool. And, you know, Jesus was moving in our midst and the Spirit was speaking to people and there was consensus. And then we had the Pentecost service and that was just, you know, an awesome time of worship and encountering with God. But over the last 2 weeks, it's been hard. It has really been hard. Some harder for some than others. But, you know, we did lose our dear brother, Doug. And that same week, Bonnie Wright had cancer surgery for colon cancer. And Susan's friend, Kitsy, ended up in the hospital with some weird, undiagnosed situation. Oh, and also, Susan, this past Friday, lost all of her wisdom. Or at least she had wisdom removed. Yes. You had an overabundance. I love it.
Would that be considered pearls of wisdom?
She tried.
Indeed.
She tried to give it to me.
Did you hear Jackie? That was called pearls of wisdom. She had her wisdom tooth removed. And according to her, it was huge. So anyway, but it's been a hard, hard, hard couple of weeks. And these hard sayings, I opened the scriptures to look and get ready for the sermon, and I went, oh, crap. I got to preach on this. Oh, my gosh. But let me give you some context, okay? Now, this is Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 following. But if you go back to chapter 10, verse 1, you'll notice that it says, "He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness." Now, he called his 12. All right, and then you read all of this stuff in chapter 10. And then chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee." Okay, so obviously everything in chapter 10 is not addressed to the multitude. All right, suggestion. Don't use this as an evangelical tool. Okay? This is really not a good evangelical tool. This was addressed to the 12. This was addressed to those who are committed to Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any sense to those who are outside of the body. It's not supposed to. All right? This is a message for the committed. This is a message for those who've already accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. For example, look at verse 16. He says, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." Or in verse 22, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." It's for us. This is a message for us, okay? And the message is really pretty simple. It's Christ first. Christ has to be first in your life, in everything, in all aspects of your life. He's saying, I have to be preeminent. I have to be first in all things that you are involved in. This really came home to me when we were in seminary, and I had some friends. There was another man from the same diocese as me. His name was Traywin Malone, his wife Lisa. The two of them, one time we were getting ready to go home for Christmas, and I was asking Traywin and Lisa how they were they looking forward to going home, and Traywin just got this really sad look on his face, and he says, no, not really. Ever since Lisa and I became Christians, my family has, they haven't disowned me, but they make it clear they don't like it. And Lisa piped in and said, you know, we never talk about it, but it's just the fact that we are there and they know we have accepted Jesus that they don't like it. They don't even like us to be around. That's the thing. They have put Christ first, and it is, as it were, an indictment of the family. That's that sword that Jesus is talking about. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. It just exemplifies the separation between those who are of Christ and those who are not. It wasn't that Jesus wanted to cast those out. He wants them to come into that relationship. But if you're putting Christ first, it's hard for those who don't put Him first to accept you. Do you see that? Does that make sense? Okay. Think about it another way. You know, think of all we hear. You won't hear it on CNN or MSNBC. You probably won't even hear it on Fox. But you, if you are at all alert to it, you'll hear about Muslims accepting Christ all over the world. And David probably is aware of more of those. He's pretty much in touch on that, and he's got some stories he could tell you about some of that. But you know, if a Muslim accepts Jesus Christ, a fatwa is immediately called on those people. They are to be killed. Your own family has an obligation to kill you if you accept Jesus Christ. That's pretty much a sword. Okay? That's pretty clear.
Doesn't the Quran describe love as Jesus?
Regardless. And a Jew, an Orthodox Jew who accepts Jesus Christ, the family sits Shiva over them. They are dead to the family. I had a girlfriend when I was in high school. Her name was Lori Levy. Now that should give you a little bit of a clue, okay? Lori Levy. Her father was of the tribe of Levi, okay? But she and her mother had accepted Jesus Christ. They were immediately expelled from the home, and the family sat in Sheba for them for 2 weeks, and they were declared dead. They weren't even allowed to come back into the house to collect their own goods because they were no longer alive. They were dead. But a Christian who chooses family over Christ is just as dead to Christ as these people are to their family. Do you see what I'm saying? That's a hard word. It's one of those hard sayings, but that's what Jesus is saying in this gospel lesson. We had a man, when we first started here at Resurrection, his family had a really hard time with us when we were first beginning. They had come from the Episcopal Church. And his wife just couldn't tolerate that we really took the faith as seriously as we did. And she told her husband, she said, if you ever go back to that church, I will divorce you. And so he came to us, the rector's council, and we prayed with him, we talked to him, we tried to reach out to the family, but they wouldn't even speak to us. And ultimately, this person announce to the rector's council, if God is telling me I have to choose between him and my wife, I'm going to choose my wife. It's a really sad story if you follow it all a little further on, because they didn't go to church anywhere after that. They didn't just leave this church. They didn't go to church anywhere. And not too long after that, she died. He had nothing. He didn't have God now, and he didn't have his wife now. And that was really, really hard. As I was working on this, I found this quote from St. Augustine. I generally don't like St. Augustine, okay? I mean, maybe that's because when we were in seminary, Miranda and I had to read The City of God over Thanksgiving weekend. Now, The City of God is... It's legitimately that thick. Okay, we had to read it over Thanksgiving weekend, so it didn't endear me to St. Augustine.
That's how I feel about Herman Melville, because I had to read Moby Dick.
Anyway, but St. Augustine says this. He says, "Let us answer our father and mother when they justly say, 'Love us.' Let us answer, 'I will love you in Christ, not instead of Christ. You will be with me in him, but I will not be with you without him.' But we don't care for Christ," they say. "And I care for Christ more than I care for you. Should I obey the ones who raised me and lose the one who created me?" Wow. That puts it pretty clearly. It's Christ first. Christ before all. Christ preeminent. Now, the hard sayings often entail hard choices that we have to make. And it's not just family we're talking about, okay? Because these hard sayings tell us that Christ has to come first in all parts of our lives. Let me give you an example. There, when we were out at FemCare and praying for the end of abortion out there, there was a beautiful lady out there. Her name was Helen, Roman Catholic. Just a great... She was a mother and a grandmother. She was just a fabulous person. But there was a district court judge at that time who was absolutely, just rabidly pro-choice. Okay? And so FemCare knew they had an advocate in district court. And so they would constantly call on all of us and indicate that, you know, somebody stepped over the line, they put their foot on my property, or, you know, poor Roger Hall, at one point, who was a member of our congregation, got arrested because his toe had touched the property line. And they had a picture of it. And so he was arrested for trespassing. You know, that's the kind of thing. And this district court judge upheld all of that. So Helen was arrested because she would stand on the sidewalk and she would use the loudspeaker. They had an electronic loudspeaker. And she would talk to the women as they were coming into the clinic to encourage them that there were other alternatives. She wasn't at all vitriolic. I mean, she was just the sweetest woman you can imagine. So anyway, but they had her arrested because they said that the decibel level on the loudspeaker broke the city noise ordinance. Okay? And so she was arrested. She was appeared in court. I went with her and with Roger, and it was an amazing thing. Because the judge was just lambasting her up one side and down the other. And she just stood there quietly. And then he said, "Do you have anything to say for yourself, young lady?" And she said, "Well, I do have two things. One is, that's a patronizing statement to call me a young lady when I'm obviously older than you. And the second is, you have no proof that I broke any ordinances whatsoever. You have not offered any proof that I broke the noise ordinance." And he says, "You are being a nuisance to them, you know, and he carries on a little bit longer. And finally he says, I forbid you to ever appear in front of that clinic again. Do you understand me? You cannot go there again or you will be in contempt of court. And she looked up at him and said, I understand exactly what you said. I intend to leave this courtroom and go directly over there and pray for those people in there. And there's nothing you can do about it because it's a public sidewalk. And I am a member of the public and I intend to stand there. And I intend to pray for them and for you because both of you need a lot of prayer. He had nothing he could say. He dismissed the case and she left. And all three of us went over to FemCare. And it was just, you know, the Lord gave her the words at that moment. She needed the words. She wasn't going to be intimidated because the Holy Spirit was powerfully present with her at that moment. It's exactly what it says here in Matthew's Gospel. He said, you know, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Christ first. Helen put Christ first. And God honored that. You know, that Miranda and I were talking last night about Eric Liddell. You all remember Eric Liddell from Chariots of Fire? Okay, he was the Scottish runner. And he refused to run on the Sabbath day in the 1924 Olympics. And one of the other athletes came to him and said, quoted 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honor me, I will honor. And Liddell was honoring God. Even though the Prince of Wales got in his face with the Olympic Committee, the British Olympic Committee, and, you know, you need to make a sacrifice for the country, the good of all, and, you know. And he just stood his ground and said no. And of course he missed his race because his race was scheduled on Sunday. But one of the other athletes came to him who had already run and had won a gold medal, and he said, I want you to run my race, which is the 400 meter, because it gives me great joy to see you run. God honored Liddell. And he got to run that race. And it wasn't even his regular race. And he won. And he got the gold medal.
And set a world record.
And set a world record. Yes, exactly. So, you know, Christ first. Are we going to put Christ first in everything? In the things we don't understand and in these hard situations we find ourselves, in the difficult choices that are put before us, the Lord will provide if we put Christ first and trust Him. Let me give you a couple of scriptures to conclude here. I want you to think about these things. All right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for every good work. God will give you what you need if you put Him first. And then when I was doing the Liturgy of the Hours, there was one scripture that I knew I had to put in there, so I don't remember exactly where I put it. But it's from Ecclesiasticus, and it says this, consider the ancient generations and see, whoever trusted in the Lord and was put to shame? Or whoever persevered in the fear of the Lord and was forsaken? Or whoever called upon Him and was overlooked? For the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He forgives sins and saves in time of affliction. He's not going to let you down. He will provide for you If you put your trust in Him, no matter how difficult the situation, no matter what you are called to do, if you put your faith and confidence in the Lord will carry you through that time and He will give you everything you need to meet that challenge. Jesus Himself said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and what's going to happen? And all these things will be yours as well. Seek first. Seek Christ. Christ first. Amen.